sent Holy Spirit here to baptize him in the Spirit or with the Spirit. And it says then the very next verse, and when he began his ministry, Jesus himself was about 30 years of age, being supposedly the son of Joseph, the son of Eli.
Yes, and so many people today wonder why their prayers aren't getting answered or why they aren't moving on with the calling of God on their hearts and their lives, and they're doing it without the ministry of Holy Spirit in their lives. Like you said, we should not be afraid of Holy Spirit. We should not be afraid to ask, earnestly desiring the gifts. Even if we don't understand them all the time, Darren, we should not be afraid of this thing. And I think it's so important to see here, as you have explained many times, Jesus did not perform miracles until after he was baptized in Holy Spirit. And ladies and gentlemen, you will not see the miracles God has planned for you until you receive the baptism of Holy Spirit in your life.
Well, you could be praying powerless prayers.
That's right.
Prayers that are empty of power. The words are there. You know, and it's always been amazing to me, Barbara, that even as I was studying, you know, the baptism of the Spirit and looking at things in ministry and so on, excuse me, I realized that there were preachers that preached in the name of Jesus. They were saying the name of Jesus. They were preaching like this, in Jesus' name, or they were praying in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Powerless prayers. Nothing happened. They went through the form, all right, but there was a minister down the street or across town, and he was praying with such great power.
Mm-hmm.
And when he prayed, people knew that he was praying with power and with authority. Mm-hmm. And things moved when he prayed.
That's right.
People got healed, and the devil was backed off and driven off and that kind of thing. What's the difference?
Yes.
What's the difference? The one has fire and one has power and the other one doesn't have.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it's that second baptism that John was talking about. And how in the world can we stop just with water baptism? And by the way, I want to say this to you. If you've not been water baptized, and I believe in immersion, I believe you ought to be baptized by a minister of the gospel that understands that, puts you clear under the water. Secondly, I believe you need to go to a minister of the gospel that understands this baptism with the Spirit and with fire. You need some power in your life.
Mm-hmm.
We've got too many wimpy Christians running around, Barbara.
That's right.
You agree?
Yes. Now in Luke 4, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, here he's baptized. We've just been talking about his baptism. He is filled up to the brim. And it says in John 1:17, he is full of grace and truth. Now when we think of Holy Spirit, who do we think of? We think of Spirit of Truth. Holy Spirit has sent to teach us all truth. And so Jesus here is full of grace and truth. Jesus is full of the Holy Spirit in chapter 4. He returns from the Jordan where he was baptized, and guess what? He's led immediately into temptation. And some of you who are going to receive an absolute marvelous baptism in Holy Spirit, you're going to be led into temptation. It's what Jesus was led to. And for days, he came against the temptations of Satan. Now, some of you, when you turn your life around, there's going to be the old friends that try to come back to you. There's going to be the old relationships, work situations that are going to try to come back and take that away from you. Don't allow that. Don't allow that temptation to come in and ruin that experience.
You're talking about familiar friends, familiar places.
Yes.
And you're going to be challenged there. You're going to really be challenged.
That's right. Many of you, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you've got to leave certain relationships. Some of you've got to move. It's plain and simple. You're almost living in a garbage dump, and you got to get out of the defilement. And sometimes it takes a move, an actual physical move, Darren. And so we know that some of this is a sacrifice, but it's absolutely worth everything to walk with the Lord.
Now, I find it very interesting. When Jesus was tempted out here in the wilderness, he was doing spiritual battle with the devil.
He was.
He was sending the devil a message.
Mm-hmm.
But how did he do that, Barbara? He did it with the Word of God.
Yes, with Holy Spirit.
Now, you need something greater than you are to fight the battles. You need to know the Word. That's why we push the Scripture packs, the power packs, all the time to help you get the Word of God in your heart so you can fight the battle and win. You notice that Jesus didn't debate the devil. He didn't argue with the devil. He said, "It is written," and he laid the Scripture on him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's right. How he won the battle, and that's the only way you can win the battle is with the Word of God.
Amen. So we know the story how Satan tempted him. He met Satan with the Word of God, and then Satan left him, and he was ministered to by angels. In verse 14 of Luke 4, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through all the surrounding district. Hey, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, news is going, it's going to travel around. Hey, did you hear Tom? Hey, did you hear Jane? It's going to be wonderful. And in the 17th verse, he goes into the temple. He opens a book in front of all of the learned men, the scribes and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, the experts. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me. Remember, the Holy Spirit anoints you to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are downtrodden and proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Now, this was taken right from Isaiah 61:1, Darren. Exactly word for word, Jesus was saying, this is me. I am fulfilling this today.
You know, I would love to have been there when this man stands up and he takes a scroll and he says, I'm the man. Here I am.
That's right.
It had to it had to blow him away.
That's right.
But you know, many times we've had to speak the scripture to people that were broken, downtrodden, to say to them, now Jesus gave us one of the ways here of ministry. He said, I am anointed to speak to you. I have used this, and I learned this from a man, I wish I could remember his last name. They called him Little Eddie, but it might have been Ed Dufresne. In fact, I think it was. Anyway, on this tape, he was saying, I'm anointed. And I learned that about, 15 years ago. And sometimes when I'm driving across the city to pray for some situation I've been called to address, I drive across town and I say, I'm anointed to pray for this person. I'm anointed to deliver God's message and power into this situation. You say, well, how arrogant.
Yeah.
Well, no,
how can
Jesus,
you say that?
Jesus wasn't arrogant here.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point in Scripture in the Gospel of John, Jesus said, as my Father sent me, I send you.
That's
when
right.
We've had that water baptism and when we've had that spirit baptism on the inner man of our heart, that power has come upon our lives. But it's triggered and released, let me say it another way, voice activated.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people that are anointed that don't know how to operate in anointing, don't know how to recognize it and release it.
Yes, and I need to say one thing, Darren. In the Old Testament, when this was first written, it was written for a man. It was a prophetic statement, but still
in Isaiah.
In Isaiah's day, Isaiah was going through such traumatic times. I mean, this man had walked naked for 3 years. He had done some unbelievable things because the people were so disobedient. And God brought him this promise. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, Isaiah. And Isaiah was saying this in Isaiah 61:1. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And as you read that, Isaiah, especially if you have a New American Standard, you'll see that it's not capital M. It's small. And God had written that for Isaiah for the moment, although it was prophetic for Jesus, it was written for Isaiah also, a common man, a man who was given a difficult calling.
So we would say that was the Holy Spirit anointing in the Old Testament.
In the Old Testament, for the common man like you and me, that we can take that scripture and say, yes, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Darren and Barbara and June and John and all of these people, all of you out there, you have the opportunity for this great calling to be upon your life.
You know, even those that didn't necessarily agree with Jesus said he teaches with authority.
Yes.
I can hear about two words out of a person's mouth, and I can tell you whether the anointing is there or not.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not there, it's into conversation. I have no more time for that broadcast or that minister or whatever's going on. In fact, I'm likely to get up and walk out.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to waste my time. And they're certainly going to waste the people's time.
Mm-hmm.
Because I like to see results. When people preach, I want to see that anointing move people. When they pray for the sick, I want to see it move. I want to see something happen there.
That's right.
And that's what the anointing is about.
That's right. And Jesus here was introducing, now we're seeing Jesus full of Holy Spirit. He's going out and starting his ministry. And we see him full of Holy Spirit. He is introducing a brand new concept. And we're going to go to John 3. And I would encourage you to read through the book of Luke. You will see Jesus in such an entirely different vein than you've ever done before. I think it'd be wonderful for you to read the book of Luke. And if you'll turn your tape over, and we're going to get into the real true ministry of Jesus Christ on this earth and being born again. Hallelujah.